the New World Report with Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. We go to Mexico. There's a big election next year that'll dominate the story. AMLO, the very popular, very powerful left-of-center president, cannot run for re-election. Mexico has one term, 6 years. So right now, his party, which is a party that was invented for him or by him, Morena, is seeking a candidate who can unite all of Mexico in the similar fashion to AMLO. And it looks like they've settled on the mayor of Mexico City. Mexico's president vigorously backed his party's selection of former Mexico City Mayor Claudia Sheinbaum as its candidate to succeed him in 24. Joseph, this doesn't look controversial in any fashion, but there's a rival for Ms. Sheinbaum named Galvez, who is popular among the indigenous population and the untrumpreneurs. Is this a close thing? Because now and again, AMLO acts as if Galvez is, I believe I have the name right, is charging on his candidate, Sheinbaum.
Yeah, no, so this is interesting because, you know, we're starting to get into now the beginning of the election season for Mexico. Mexico has elections in 2024, next year. And the big competition among the Morena faction of the election, which is President López Obrador's political party, is Claudia Sheinbaum is going to be the representative. AMLO openly announced his support for Claudia Sheinbaum as the Morena candidate in the next elections. But she was receiving competition from Marcelo Ebrard, which is the current foreign minister for AMLO. And so this is interesting because it shows a potential rift within Morena, which would be very important if the political opposition, in this case, the PAN, would be able to have any kind of momentum moving into 2024. And so she's Galvez, you're right, John, she's the opposition candidate, the main opposition candidate put forward by the PAN. She's, you know, not necessarily a very well-known figure in Mexican politics, but she's been around and she's trying to make her name more well-known among throughout the country. You know, Mexico's a federal country, has many different states, much like the United States, and she'll be contending. I think she would be smart to play up that rift between Ebrard and Sheinbaum, because that rift can potentially take votes away and weaken the legitimacy of Sheinbaum, who's going to be the Morena candidate. And one more note, John, on this, there is a dark horse candidate that potentially could be in this race from the conservative side, from the right of center side, which is a gentleman named Eduardo Verástegui. He just applied to become a presidential candidate. Now he has to do the hard work of collecting the signatures and doing all the requirements to be considered to be certified as a presidential contender. But he's a well-known figure because not only is he a conservative activist that's known throughout the country for pro-life causes and others, but he's also the protagonist and the producer of this very popular movie called Sound of Freedom that is pretty much, you know, made a wave throughout the world on anti-human trafficking. So I think he's going to play on that momentum of that from the movie and the issue of anti-human trafficking, along with the pro-life issue, to try to galvanize the conservative movement inside Mexico. He's a long shot. He's definitely a dark horse candidate, but he's somebody also just to keep in mind because he's going to be potentially in the Mexican election contention.
Marcelo Ebrard is a former foreign minister. Do you have observations about foreign ministers moving into the palace, Ernesto? We'll back you the day you run for president, for example.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Well, maybe the day will come. I don't know. I'm joking, of course. I'm very happy being, among other things, a part of in your show and being a president. It's too much trouble. But I know Marcelo and Albert. We were gathered as ministers for our respective countries a few times. My guess is that he's too much of a professional diplomat to be successful in politics. Of course, Mexico is different from other countries. The party itself is so strong that whoever Morena and AMLO put as a candidate would have a lot of chance. But what happens is that whoever gets used to diplomacy starts to think differently and speak a different language from mortals and from common people. And this tends to take people away from anyone who has that sort of foreign policy experience. I think that's what explains that it's so rare that people make that sort of transit, at least in presidential republics. But more than that, I would like to comment on Verástegui and what Joseph just said. It shows there is a demand for anti-system candidates in the region, together with what happened with Milei. So in a moment where we thought that that sort of current, that sort of anti-system sentiment was dead in Latin America, first to have Milei, because Bolsonaro, I mean, is politically dead to a large extent, unfortunately. So anti-system is basically dead in Brazil. I think it will resuscitate, okay? But it will take some time. But then you have this sort of anti-system resurrection with the viability, at least, of Milei in Argentina and what seems to be viability of Verástegui in Mexico. So, well, thinking about Ronald Reagan and, well, Zelensky, someone who I admire, and now Verástegui, I think it's good to see actors becoming presidents more than diplomats.
Ecuador, a very close held election, the son of a very well-to-do man, I believe he's a banana king, a surprise candidate on the field running opposite the chosen successor to the Correístas. Do I say that right, Joseph? Correístas?
Yeah, the Correístas.
Correístas. And Correa is a force, I understand, not only in Ecuador, but throughout the region. The young man who's running against his chosen candidate is doing very well in polls. Again, Joseph, you've taught me to doubt polling, even though we're close to the second round. How do you regard these polls in Ecuador? Unreliable?
Well, I wouldn't say they're unreliable, but you never know. I mean, the polling, just general, I think, has always been kind of not a perfect science. But on top of that, Ecuador has shown that, the political scenario, the political situation in the country is very turbulent. They killed the presidential contender. We all talked about it, Fernando Villavicencio. There's other political folks in the country that have been killed as well. The mayor of Manta was killed. Just this last week, they killed a counselor in the town, in a small town called Duran. And he was a councilman inside that city, and so the political violence is very high, the political instability is very high, and that's what I think concerns me. I don't know how the polls can read that. The people can even say something to a pollster and completely disregard what they say because they're worried about who's hearing, who's watching, and who's listening to them. All things considered, Daniel Noboa, who's the anti-Correista candidate, against Rafael Correa and his coalition, the Citizens Revolution that they call. He should be able to pull it off. He's polling ahead of Luisa Gonzalez, who's the Rafael Correa Correista candidate in the election.
30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but there's still time. There's still about a month away. So, and literally anything could happen. We've already seen murders, political assassinations happen in Ecuador. So we'll see. But I do hope that Noboa was able to pull this off, because the return of Rafael Correa, which would be Luisa Gonzalez, would be very detrimental, not just for Ecuador, but for the entire continent of South America.
Joseph Umar, Ernesto Araújo, New World Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,